The rumblings of revolution.
Revolution.
The vibrations of vocal cords. The tingling in our pants.
What?
You know how we do it, coming at you from I-75 and I-94. Downtown Detroit, Michigan. It's the Olin Ezra Show. To my right, I'm looking at my homie Olin Ezra.
Yo-ho!
Straight across from me, I'm looking at my boy, the big baby P.
What up, y'all?
And to my left, Miss Sarah Force.
What the hell am I here for?
What's up, Internet, in the great city of Detroit, Michigan? You're listening to the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's underground talk revolution.
Hello, Detroit.
Where's the POW at?
Pat's not here.
Where is Pat?
He's late.
You know, he called me, like, you know, at 2 and was like, hey, is it 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? I'm like, well, it's 2.
Using the old time change.
Yeah.
I watched it. I watched it happen.
Did you?
Yes. My cable box went from 159 to 3.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty odd occurrence. I actually was looking at the, the guide, you know, your TV guide, like on the TV, and it just jumped from 130 to 3. And for a few minutes there, I was like, what in the fuck? I had to, you know, click to me that, oh, yeah.
I didn't even know that this was happening Friday afternoon.
I mean, it's going to be getting dark at like 7, a little after 7, man. It's coming. The weather is breaking. I tell you.
Well, it is, but, what, like 50 degrees outside?
But that's tight. At the good part of that is, like, now I can drive around later at night with my burnt-out taillight that doesn't work.
Speaking of all that driving around, man, I tried fucking driving downtown last night and it was a goddamn disaster. The freeway is flooded.
Yeah, I heard
about
talking
that. Like 2 feet of water. Yeah, it was just a fucking debacle.
Which freeway?
94 was fucked.
Oh.
I wound up jumping on 96. That was down to one lane and fucked. rerouted me, you know, you take that fucking Fort Street diversion.
Oh, yeah.
That was all fucked. I was just, dude, was so goddamn.
What time were you driving around downtown? I didn't have a problem.
Like 11.
Oh.
11 o'clock.
I was home by before 10.
Welcome to Michigan.
Well, that sounds like a fun night.
It was a fun night. I went down to the casino. I was up a whole $7 on the 2 cent slot machines and then just, you know, played it out.
Hey, but, Dylan, didn't we have on an earlier episode some lady tried to sue, like, the state of Michigan because she had to sit in our crappy traffic?
What?
Yeah, like, it was one of the first couple episodes. Some lady sat in traffic, so she tried to sue the state of Michigan.
Yeah, she was taking her cat to the vet.
Oh, that
did
one.
Did it die on the way?
For that one?
I remember that shit. Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Crazy. She's a crazy cat lady.
How are you going to sue the state because you had to sit in our garbage traffic?
You know what, though, man? I have had people from out of state to come here, and they're just like, how can you shut down major freeways?
Well, where do they come from?
Out of state?
Iowa?
Places where the roads are
good
quality.
People? I've had friends come in from, whether it be family from California, from Arizona, and they're like, what in the motherfuck? Who shuts down a major freeway? Michigan, apparently.
Michigan, MDOT.
Yeah. MDOT's known for putting people out of business, too. And they've done it 23 Mile Road. There's a couple businesses out there that when they had that all fucked up, like 23 and 94.
Ah.
There's the one car wash company has a big sign out front that says closed permanently. Thank you, MDOT. It's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah.
M to the D-O-T.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
Hey, Dylan, what do you think about MDOT and their ridiculous potholes?
Why are you talking to me so much?
Well, Pat's not here, so who else is he going to harass?
Right.
One of you guys.
Not
We're
me.
Going through anti-Patrick envy or whatever.
It's like Pat withdrawal.
Six.
How's it going, Internet land? Right here live on the Olin Ezra Show. It's your boy Chief, man. Detroit, stand up.
Yeah, what up? This is Bones Dub, A&B, Axe Murder Boys, Psychopathic, Hatchet House, in the house. You're listening to the Olin Ezra Show.
What's up? It's your boy Ajax, representing Purple Hash Productions. You're listening to the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's underground talk revolution.
Coming up this month, we got Trick Trick, Mikkel Gurry, and a local artist named Talent. Talent's a pretty cool cat. I rocked some shows with him back in the day.
Yeah, Talent's cool shit, man. I like this stuff.
Good times.
I got his album from the last Bullfrog thing he was at. I thought it was pretty cool.
Was that good?
Yeah. Good recording, man. He's got a cool vocal, too.
Beer of the week.
Like I was mentioning earlier to you guys off mic here, we're talking, it's seasonal time. And I'm a fucking slave to the beers, seasonal brewings, mainly. Come summer, I start drifting in a little more towards your Coronas, Blondes, some of your more ales. But this is the red, today's beer is the Red Stripe Jamaican Lager.
Yay, beer.
Mure por beer. And I got the 24-ounce here in front of me.
It's an interesting bottle.
Oh, it's awesome.
I'd like to see a porn star try to, you know, diddle herself
this
with that.
This one is pretty thick.
Be a blowout.
Ooh, with the cap open so it gets stuck.
And for over 75 years, Red Stripe has embodied the spirit, rhythm, and pulse of Jamaica and its people.
I'm from the beach, man.
Yeah, and there's a number on the back, 1-866-508-5970. You can dial, call that up and go, hooray for the beer! And it's good stuff, man.
Do they send you free beer? They should.
They probably will now. I've always liked the little logo thing. I'm not quite sure what that means, that guy right there.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I've always been scared to try Red Stripe because I thought it would be horrible, but it's not that bad.
You know, man, lagers, yeah, they're a little harder to deal with sometimes.
But I almost feel like it's an oxymoron that there's Jamaican beer because it's like there should be just like really cush Jamaican buds, but the only thing they can export to us is beer. You know what I'm saying?
The secret is marijuana. Sure. Weed beer. So, yeah, it's about that time for the Red Stripe. Let's get it going.
Speaking of marijuana, Hydro Harry's is Michigan's largest indoor grow shop. www.hydroharrys.com. www.hydroharrys.com. www.hydroharrys.com.
You know what's funny? I was driving, sometimes on the road, I go into a zone where next thing I know, it's like 10 minutes later, not sure how I got anywhere. But in this one case, I came out just in time to see that I was driving right by Hydro Harry's.
Really?
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about,
I was like,
that cloud,
though. Are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, this place, I drive by here so much.
Does it look like a nice upper class establishment, you know, for the finer individuals of society?
Where is it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Where is it?
It's on DeQuinder. Just past 9 Mile.
Now, when we're
I've driven by it many times and not even noticed.
It's between 10 and 9 on DeQuinder. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like,
I popped out. I was like, oh, fuck. I was right across from Hazel Park Racetrack.
Hey, what do you guys think of Octomom?
I'm so tired of hearing it.
Psycho bitch.
Wow.
I didn't know she had plastic
surgery. She's
fucking
psychotic, dude.
Plastic surgery for what?
She did. She had her lips done, and I think the bottom of her chin tucked up. And the reason for that is because this bitch thinks she's going to be a star, and she found any hook that she could. This one, in this case, being, you know,
16 kids
a shitload
by herself,
of kids.
No right. Man by
which,
herself,
which is part
I
of her
was
plot.
14.
While she was pregnant with these last batch of rats, she fucking was shopping book deals and movie deals. So before she even had them kids, and it's like,
what a terrific upstanding member of society.
Imagine me and one of them kids having to come into the world. Like, thanks, you fucking psycho.
I think it's funny they call her Octo Mom because it just reminds me of weird Japanese hentai porn.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's weird that they refer to her as Octomom because she has 6 more kids before this batch of children.
Yeah.
They don't care about the rest of her kids. They're just interested in the latest
Octomom.
8 children.
She had, like, I believe it was child services called on her for not feeding her kids properly. Before she got knocked up with, I don't know, what 8 kids?
Knocked up artificially.
With a tube?
Some people, earlier reports have been she was having plastic surgery to try and look like Angelina Jolie.
I saw that picture. That's the only time I saw any news coverage of that. I was disgusted.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly and utterly disgusted because we need to be paying attention to more important shit like how we're being taxed with no representation than some mom that's squirting out 16 kids. God damn it.
Yeah, take that, bitch.
Yeah,
it's
shut
ridiculous.
Up. Yeah. Anyway, she is the official Olin Ezra Show asshat
of
the week.
Well, hi there, boys and girls. It's time for the asshat of the week.
It's the asshat, the asshat, the Olin Ezra asshat of the week.
Asshat. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and that goes out to Octo Mom, who's squirting out 16 kids
all over the place.
She doesn't even have a job. What a deplorable mess.
Her job is to be a mother.
If you have any comments on this dumb broad, head over to the Olin Ezra Show forums. There'll be a link in the post and comment on it.
Where's she out? She's in California,
I'm disgusted.
Right?
I don't know. She could be anywhere.
Yeah.
She's everywhere.
If she is, I just suspect she's in California because they're all a bunch of fucking.
She's a mutant with eight vaginas.
Yeah. Octomom.
That must be it, huh?
Think of eight dicks coming at her.
What about eight titties?
Hey, Dylan, would you ever be in a Japanese hentai?
Talk about my dream girl.
I saw on Max Porn some chick with three tits, and it was really weird looking.
Not like Total Recall three tits?
It was completely fake. Like a dead breast?
It was fake. It was just like a boob in the middle of her chest, and it made her sternum look all weird.
Oh, that's kind of gross.
Yeah.
Anyone familiar with nothingtoxic.com?
No.
I know I've heard that
Pretty fucking nice little porn clips on there.
Really?
And I've been on there for, I don't know, up to 3 to 4 minutes at a time. And they're, doesn't Alan seem to have any issues with them.
Wow, dude.
There's literally nothing toxic.
how do you last so long, man? I'm done
stop,
in like a minute.
Switch hands.
Oh, okay. I got to go for like,
wow.
You
got to
give yourself the stranger and sit on your hand till it falls asleep.
You know, I tried that before, and all it did was hurt my hand because it had the pins and needles effect, and so I just ended up, like, you know, slapping myself with my hand, and then I hurt myself, and I quit that.
You can't even jerk off, right?
Got an injury?
I'll have you know that I could hit the ceiling. How dare you?
You know, I already knew, number one, and number two, I dare you to try it again.
Get their room. You two, knock it off.
Can you hit the ceiling, Steve?
If I've hit my own eye.
Oh, man.
That sucks, man.
Oh, God!
That's like the worst feeling in the world because you're like, oh, dude, oh, man.
Yeah. It was a whole, I fucking, you know, studied how that even happened. It turned into like a big JFK scenario. I thought there was a second shooter. It's fucked.
Dylan, did that ever happen to you? Thanks, Dylan. Thanks for that comment there.
Nice.
How dare you?
It's getting hip.
I'm going to take that as a no. Really. I don't think Dylan's ever done it before.
Anyway.
No more talking about your own jism in your own eyes. All right.
Well, do you squirt?
Not all the time.
Once in a while, though.
Yeah, if it's really good.
That shit's like a projectile.
Well, yeah.
I mean, Jesus, girl, you gotta talk
about
spunk.
Your shit's like a projectile, so.
Yeah, but the other kind goes farther, the feminine kind.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think we need to discuss Hulu.
Hulu?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that video service on MySpace or whatever.
Run by, like, aliens or some shit?
It's not even on MySpace. Run by Alec Baldwin? I don't know.
It's run by Alec Baldwin?
No, he's just.
No, aliens. They're just all aliens.
Yeah. He's part of that reptilian alien race.
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah, according to the Hulu commercials.
They want to turn your brains from mush into a fine puree.
Oh, okay. Well, a puree is easier to deal with. Does News Corp own Hulu?
I'm not sure who owns it.
All right, man, more distractionary tactics where, of course, everything's moving more towards a grid, right? Even like the idea of digital TV says that the programming is more condensed. When you're available to have shit, I mean, because Hulu, you can get off of anything, right? To your phone, to your laptop, to iPods, whatever.
Yeah.
There we go. Here comes the
anything
grid.
Connected to the internet.
Mm. Well, yeah. I'm sure Hulu will be around for the launch of Web 2.0. More on that coming soon.
Hey, kids, you remember books? What are books?
Those crazy papered objects.
Did you hear about that website? You can go to and download an entire book right to like your portable device, and then you just read the page. Move the screen, turn the page.
That's cute.
So, like, you literally, we don't even need paper books anymore. No. Burn them all.
All you need is Adobe Reader, something to read PDFs with.
Oh, come on, man. It's not like societies have ever taken books that are filled with historical documentation and burned them. What are you talking about? Man, people aren't like that.
This is our knowledge from now on.
Yeah, right? You know, yep. Who knows what the hell happened before 10,000 BC? I'll just tell you, it's probably... Ugh, idiots. Dylan, what's wrong with the human race?
Yes!
There we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, Family Guy's coming out with Return of the Jedi, speaking of distractions.
Yay! Oh, no.
Yeah, there you go. On
That's
top
an
of,
excellent distraction.
I don't know. I've never even saw that they released their parody of The Empire Strikes Back yet.
Well,
oh, yeah, they just went right to Return of the Jedi?
I don't know. Is that coming?
How much of all that was covered in the, what did they call it, blue something?
Blue Harvest,
yeah.
Blue Harvest was episode 4.
Yeah?
I think so.
Wasn't it?
It's been so long since I've seen it, though.
It's all just part of the same one, right? It's a Star Wars episode.
Right. But Blue Harvest was actually the name to hide, which I can't even remember which one. You know, when before they put the real name on the actual first copy of the movie.
I know
so no
Blue
one
Harvest,
tries to steal it.
I know Blue Harvest was the code name for Return of the Jedi.
Oh, well, then.
So who... Hey, comment on the forums if you know what the hell we're talking about, because I'm kind of lost and confused.
I know that Stewie is Darth Vader. That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Stewie is such an interesting character.
Yeah, because, you know, they kind of give him gay tendencies, too, which is funny for a baby.
What do you mean gay? It's more than gay.
Yeah.
Tendencies. The baby's sucking dick out behind every building on that goddamn show. That like, poor, poor baby.
When he gets Brian to spit on him, and they're all hot, laying on the couch. Spit on me, Brian. How does that cool you down? What?
They never take Stewie over to with Chris to go see that old creepy newspaper guy.
I think there wasn't. They touched on it at some point. I thought there was a little reference.
Did
to
they?
It.
Hasn't there been enough references? I don't.
How's it going there, Muslim?
You guys, fucking sweet.
Oh man, Dylan, did you ever live by anybody like that? Oh, poor Dylan.
What's that doing? You were singing Christmas carols when a man touched your butt.
Was that the noise you were making while he was doing his thing?
Sing jingle bells for me.
Oh, poor, poor Dylan. You got anything else there? Just Hulu?
This is great. Now I don't even have to say anything.
That is pretty.
I can just play sound effects.
I want to sit with you, Dylan, and just play sound effects. Do I have anything else? No, not really.
Not on Hulu. I want to know if it's owned by News Corp.
I want to know who it's owned by, too.
That's the great debate right now. Steve, man, you have unlimited resources and an infinite amount of energy for perusing the internet's greatest scams and cover-ups. So can you figure that out for us? Steve has opted out of that deal, too.
No, yeah, no. That's cool. I'll figure it out. I'll figure it out and all the dastardly plans behind it.
Well, hey, before these fair tax people come into the studio to talk about MichiganFairTax.org, you got anything, Steve?
Just other than... It seems like a misnomer, fair and tax. It's two words together. It's like pop punk shouldn't exist. But we'll see what they see what direction they want to go. I have a couple questions for them.
Joliker?
Joliker.
Joliker. Okay, I don't want to butcher your name. So.
Mean, unless you're French and you want to go Joliker.
Joliker. Joliker. Hanging out in Detroit.
Yeah.
All right. And we're on with Linda Joliker. I tried.
He's
so
like,
sorry.
I don't want to butcher your name, but
he does it to everyone.
I do it to everyone. So, and she's from MichiganFairTax.org, and you can get to the website at MIFairTax.org. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm great. How about you guys?
Good. We're doing good.
Very good. Do you have a hard time finding us down here?
Oh, no. Grew up in Detroit.
Good.
Yeah, you grew up right around the corner, you were telling
me,
right?
Yeah, not too far. And my grandfather owned a lot of rental property in Hamtramck, so.
Okay, yeah.
Spent my life down here.
That's right up the road.
Tell them the dismembered body story.
Oh, well, my father owned a gas station on Grandy between Shane and Mount Elliott, and we started out, my brothers got beat up one night, and, you know, my dad started thinking about, well, maybe we should start thinking about moving. And then the next thing was somebody broke into our house and broke into the gas station because we lived right next door to the gas station. And then the third thing was that they found a dismembered body behind his gas station, and he moved us the next weekend. We were out of it.
And that was the capper. Man. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That was the nail that finally did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
The dead body.
And then we were outcast because all my aunts and uncles live here, you know, lived at that time here in the city of Detroit. So, you know, we were like West Siders.
How dare you?
Yes.
How dare you move away because of the dismembered body?
That's right.
To be safe.
Yeah. Now, who's afraid of an axe murderer?
Not me.
So can you tell us a little bit about what Michigan Fair Tax is and, you know, just kind of like a brief summary of it?
Sure. Well, basically it is a change in the tax system from our current income tax and it would switch us over to a consumption tax, which is basically a sales tax. So if you don't spend a lot of money, you don't pay a lot of taxes. You no longer would be taxed on your savings, your investments, whatever income you make. You would only be taxed if you bought something. And if you bought something new, used goods would not be taxed.
So it's basically if you buy it and you haven't would groceries and stuff like that fall into that category of things to be taxed?
Yes, everything would be taxed. You know, right now we don't pay sales tax on food and medications, but right. What we do to subsidize that part of your income that you're currently not paying taxes on. Every family, regardless of income, would get what's called a prebate at the beginning of the month, and that check would cover those sales taxes on items that are currently not taxable.
Hmm. So on foods and stuff, lower-income families would have sort of a bonus, you know,
yes.
If you would.
It's very progressive.
Okay.
So how would that work, say, like in the current economic crisis setting would cause like quite a bit, like more, like less spending, right?
I don't know that it will cause any less spending, but I think it's a much fairer tax because right now a lot of senior citizens, people who have put away retirement income are being taxed on those investments. Of course, most of them are losing money right now on their investments, but the current environment, I don't think it would have a big radical change. I really honestly don't. If anything, sales tax are much more steady than income tax. Like, as you all know, there's tons and tons of people who have been laid off in Michigan. So we have so many people out of work here that I imagine our government's revenues are very low because there's no income to tax. Under a sales tax model, I mean, people still have to eat. They still have to buy clothing. They still have to do the things that you do every day.
But that would be more of an apportioned direct tax, if you would, as opposed to an income tax, which is I can't understand the entire income tax code. I'm sure they have something on me.
Well, the state code is a little less cumbersome than the federal code. The federal code now has grown to 17,000 pages of tax code, and even your professional CPAs don't understand the code or have to look things up. And then if you gave the same question to 10 different people, they'd all come back with a different answer. So it's very complicated. This is what we feel is a very simple process. It's a very simple tax. No one would have to file any taxes. You'd be able to get rid of a whole lot of people in Treasury, so our state government would shrink, which I think we need to do anyway. I mean, you know, we don't have as many citizens as we used to. A lot of people have moved out of the state of Michigan because our tax system is not very friendly here, and not just the personal tax system, but particularly the business taxes in Michigan are
business.
Way out of line.
Yeah, they're brutal. The business taxes around here are brutal.
Very brutal.
Does Jennifer Granholm play a role in all that as well?
Yes, she does. She could have taken the leadership and made some significant changes to the climate here in Michigan through the tax system. She could have made it very friendly, and they'll argue in Treasury that, we're bringing new film business here and we're bringing this industry here. Well, that's fine, but what about the people who have been here, who have been loyal citizens, loyal business owners for years and years?
And I love how they bolster that like it's the way to save us all. It's like the movie.
Right.
We're going to be little Hollywood, and California
is
full of sane people that work in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
No, you know what scares me about that is that when they come here to film, they already have their main stars cast. They already have their their production engineers. They already have their cameras. They bring in everything.
So it's going to hurt local artists.
Right. The only thing that's here are extras.
I don't discount that it doesn't generate revenue, because I'm sure if you talk to the people like in Howell and the people in Grosse Pointe when Clint Eastwood was here filming his movie, it does. The local economy does get a boost from it. They go to dinners, they bring in food, they have caterers, and you know, obviously there's a lot of personal services
service industry, really.
But why do you have to have an incentive to have a particular industry come? Mm-hmm. If your tax is fair and your taxes is correct, then you don't have to do this. People will come here and open a business because it's a good place to have a business, not because you gave them some kind of great incentive.
Do you think we should eliminate state taxes in general? Like, you know, most states, some states don't have state tax.
I think we should eliminate the income tax, and I think we should eliminate the business tax. I mean, people will argue that, you know, it's unfair. Like, one of Granholm's biggest arguments is that she wouldn't consider the fair tax because she said that that would directly affect citizens. Well, citizens are already paying that tax. I mean, every product, every service that we buy, the tax that business owners are paying is embedded into the cost of that product or that service.
Right. And that's why goods are going up right now when pays are getting lower.
Right. So if you unbundle the tax, then you're giving people a choice to spend the money or not spend the money.
Right. Right. I they've just been doing the income tax scam for so long. It just seems like they need their cut at this point. You know what I mean?
Well, there's no doubt that Treasury's attitude is that we exist first. I mean, their job is to make sure that government is funded, and they will tell you that without a blink of an eye. Legislators I've talked to have even said to me, my job is to figure out ways to take money from you to run the government.
I
actually had a state rep tell me that, and I just about fell off my chair, but, you know.
Right, and it's funny because state rep, if you're a part of that state— He represents you.
Well, he didn't represent my district, thank God, because I'd probably be running against him if he was.
His whole job is to figure out how to take money from the people he represents.
But that's where, like, from those people at the top will always have the power, like, to lobby their policies, like, in their in their best interest. And that's what this whole, like, with these, the whole talk of bailouts is essentially robbery of the people at its, like, taxpayer level. Like, so much wealth now has been transferred straight up the pyramid, so to speak.
Well, fortunately, the bailout problem isn't so much even about the bailouts is that they're putting the bailout in the wrong place. This whole thing started not with the banks. It started with mortgages. And, yes, the banks played a very big role in it. And, actually, the banks caused the problem because they lent money to people that they – that could not afford the homes. And in some cases.
Not only
now,
that,
in Michigan, I have to say, that's not the case in Michigan. A lot of good people are losing their homes because they lost their job.
Right. I've been unemployed working on side jobs as a contractor, you know, doing you know, handiwork here and there. So I can feel that, you know. And it's really hard in my profession to even find a job, and it's a profession that makes quite a lot of, you know, a good revenue in telecommunications, but I can't get into any of the at least the big three companies around here.
Right.
Just because there's either a waiting list or what have you.
Well, we owe a great debt of gratitude to the automotive industry. I'll be the first to say I've never worked for an automotive company.
I just want to
put that disclaimer out there that I've never worked in the automotive industry, but my father did, my brothers have, and for a long time, the automotive industries have done so much for this local community. I mean, they have built all the great libraries in this area. They have built the school system. They built the hospitals that are wonderful in this area. And we do owe them a debt in a lot of ways. I mean,
often fund attractions and, museum work and stuff, which that's all being cut, right? Even what Ford or GM or Ford that hosts the Music Fest, like the Techno Fest, they pull their funding and stuff. And so,
a lot of philanthropy going on with the automotives that we've been great benefactors. And not just Michigan, but the entire country has benefited from the taxes that these three corporations have paid over the years. And now that they're down, it's kind of like they're kicking them in the face. And it makes me angry because I look at AIG, I look at Citicorp.
Thieves.
Yeah. I mean, these people have stole our money. Yeah. They have stole the biggest asset that most people have, and that's their home.
And I love them guys from the big three execs that went before Congress. And it's just like a bunch of kids all nitpicking at each other. It was the one congressman that was like, so how did you get here today? Yeah. Private jets? Huh? Mm-hmm. See?
Which is such a foolish question because,
it's so stupid.
You know, the automotive industry has plants all over this country. Some of them are not in major cities like Detroit, where you can fly right into the airport.
As well as around the world, which is kind of another issue.
and I'd love to ask those Congress people, how did you get to Washington?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, come on, Nancy Pelosi's got the same plane that the president has. You know, give me a break.
Right, it's like $2 million per flight, you know, for her and we're all paying for.
Absolutely.
What's the phrase, thick as thieves?
Well, it's astounding to me that they can't see the writing on the wall. I mean, this whole problem started with housing, and we have yet to spend $3 trillion we've put out there. And has any of it gone to home mortgages? Has anybody's home been saved? No. We're throwing money at the wind, and we don't even know where it's going.
And this is something I've said before, and I don't even know if it's relevant, but what about when they were dishing out, you know, trillions? There was, like, some guy broke down the numbers that said each household or taxpayer could have gotten, like, $50,000. So give the bailout to the people, down. Essentially,
well,
which then they pay off. You pay off. You save the banks because people pay off all their loans. They right. probably make additional purchases, which bolsters the economy. I don't understand why that seems like a bad idea.
Because they can't control it if they give it to you. And that's it's all about control and power.
Control.
There you go.
And that's all, we've talked about that on the show for
quite
a long
bit,
time.
Actually, yeah. Yes. The setup for control has become so obvious, and you're hearing words now in the press and the media that you never would have heard 5 years ago, the way these guys talk. And when guys like Kissinger actually say world order, look out, because like you're on the cusp of control is not even a word for it.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. I don't want to paint with a broad brush because there are good people both in our state legislature, legislature and also in the national, you know, legislature. There are good people there, but I think far too few of them speak up. And you know, this past week we were given a good example of that by Evan Bay, and there was another gentleman that stood up and said, no, I'm not going to vote for this so-called, you know, the leftover funding from last year. Now, why do they have to spend it?
Right.
If we're so in debt, why don't they pay the bills with it?
Right.
You know, I don't get it. I guess I'm just too common sense.
That's
the problem.
Right, yeah. It doesn't make any sense. And speaking of good people in legislature, I'm sure you're familiar with Ron Paul and the people at Campaign for Liberty. Are you guys like associated or, you know, work hand in hand with those guys? Or?
We are a nonpartisan organization.
Okay.
We have friends on both sides of the aisle. We supported both the Democratic presidential candidate and all of the Republican candidates that were fair taxers. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately, none of our guys won. and that's too bad because, you know, I think that the biggest change and the biggest positive you could do for this country right now is to eliminate the IRS and go to a simple tax plan that everyone understood, everyone pays their fair share. And that's what the fair tax is all about. It gets to the underground economy. It gets to people who are here illegally or legally. I don't care, you know, one way or the other, but they pay their way as opposed.
So this is, you're talking about eliminating federal income tax.
There, yes. On a federal level, our program would eliminate all federal income taxes, inheritance tax, capital gains tax. Mostly your business-to-business taxes would be eliminated. All you would pay is a sales tax.
Well,
on
top of
purchases.
That, what about like government programs? Where would they find the money to fund their programs? Social Security, food stamps?
We have actually had the top economists in this country have looked at this program and have said that you're not going to eliminate any of the programs. You can cover Social Security with the revenues that would be generated. It's much easier for somebody to cheat on their taxes if it's just them. You know, I could very easily come up with medical bills or, you know, you name it. It only takes me to cheat on my taxes. But if you go to a national sales tax, or we went to the Michigan Fair Tax where we had a statewide deal, you're asking two people now to get involved because you're buying something from somebody. You're going to say to that guy, hey, I don't want to pay my taxes. And I own a business, and I actually run into this a lot, where people say, well, I'm buying my equipment out of state. And I tell them, well, I don't care. I still have to pay taxes on it.
Right.
And they go, no, you don't. And yes, I do. You know, I don't think anybody in the fair tax movement is against paying their fair share. But what we want is to eliminate the compliance cost. I mean, if the fair tax were passed tomorrow, we could save $300 million a year in compliance cost.
I mean, that's a big number.
I'm not a genius, but I'm a fairly intelligent person, and I can file my own taxes, but I don't. And you know why? Because I'm afraid if I ever get audited, I need that CPA there to defend me more than the fact that I need them to figure out how to do it. I can do it. I could buy TurboTax like Geithner.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, a lot of those programs are reportedly making it easier.
And you could even put that word, you know, you just said fear, you know, people are scared of a government entity that really has no legal, no legal statutes holding it, you know, accountable, you know, to collect taxes. There's no law on the books at all that says if you do not pay your federal income tax, this is going to happen to you. There's no law that exists.
Or that it wasn't, you know, ratified by enough states, sure, to be, to render it, you know, power, any power. But, you know, are you familiar with, like, Sherry Jackson? She was, worked for the IRS. And her, along with, like, it was, like, six or seven other people at the time that just quit paying their taxes. Point being, they wanted them to drag them into court so they could point out that there was no statutes and, like, that there was no tax law exactly. And they dragged it as far as they could, I think, to Supreme Court, where she finally won. A couple of other people didn't. It was very, like, you know, fractured in how they got out of it. But, yeah, Sherry Jackson.
That's too bad. Well, you know, the income tax was put in during the Second World War.
Right.
And it was a 1% tax. And it was only on people of certain incomes. And then between 1942, I think, or 41 when it was enacted, until the 60s when John Kennedy got elected, it was 70% on our tax, on the top tax people in the country, the top earners in our country. In the 60s, we're paying 70% of their income. I mean, today, we would call that socialism, wouldn't we? And that's what, you know, people fight about so fewer things. I mean, this country was founded because the King of England wanted 1 cent on tea purchases. And and here we are. We're willingly giving over 50% of our income to the government without a sound. I mean, people complain about it to each other, but they don't do what they need to do.
I think there's been a lot of social engineering over the years to get people to kind of forget the whole creed of the Founding Fathers, what the idea of the Bill of Rights and Constitution was at all. Nobody has any clue what that stuff means.
I think it helps that that politicians, like, whenever they're running for anything, they always say, and I represent what our founding fathers, what our forefathers wrote all of those pieces of paper for. You know, it's like where
they invoke the imagery, they just don't follow it.
Right, exactly.
Well, I know when I was in high school, and that was probably a lot long time ago in comparison to the people sitting here in front of me. We had to read the Federalist Papers, which were the founding thoughts of the founding fathers. And it's very interesting to me that not only do they not teach the Federalist Papers, they don't even teach American history in most school systems anymore.
And that's even very, like, picked and chosen what parts of it that is taught.
Yes, the textbooks are very, very poorly put together and not much history in them.
Yeah, one of my friends is a teacher, and she complains because she's spending more time getting the students prepared for you know, these standardized MEEP tests than she is actually teaching them any relevant content.
Valuable information.
Yeah, it's memorize all these facts, take the test, you know, continue on. It doesn't seem she's upset because there isn't that much knowledge, you know, being absorbed by the kids. It's all repetitive. Remember this, write it down, and continue on.
But then again, isn't that like how, like, the real world is now? Where it's just you learn to do this. This is what you do every day. Every day.
Yeah,
every day.
Like
then they send you to training to learn something else, and you do that every day. Every day. I mean, it's a horrible system any way you look at it.
Well, I hope that's not what we're coming to. I truly hope that we will get back to teaching children the basic three R's. I mean, I will say that I don't have a really high IQ, but I have three siblings that have very, very high IQs, genius level, and it was very intimidating coming up behind them. But I will say that, and I did go to public school, I got very good teachers, and I think my education was a very well-rounded education during the 50s and 60s. But education has changed so dramatically. I mean, I know my own children, when they were in school, I read their books. I mean, I remember reading my daughter's history book in the when she was in the fifth grade, and they had something in there about how Gorbachev helped bring down the Berlin Wall.
Right.
And I'm thinking, Gorbachev, wait a minute. Ronald Reagan was the one who was responsible for that. So I took in an article on Ronald Reagan, and I spoke to the teacher that taught that class, and I said, you know, I think it's only fair that we give our children both sides of the story, and I would really appreciate it if you would pass out this article and discuss it in your class.
You actually got involved in your child's education?
No, yeah. That is un-American, well, lady. I know.
What is this technique?
Kudos to you.
This is black magic you speak of.
I know. Well, the good thing is the teacher took it. He was very accommodating and said, yes, I agree with you, and I'll be happy to do this. Hmm. Because it came from a parent, it was very difficult for the principal to step in and not let him do it.
Right.
And the funny thing about it was, you know, I was very involved in all of my children's education when they were young. And when my youngest one got to high school, I said to her, well, you know, she decided she wanted to go to this private girls' school for high school. And I said, okay, if that's what you want. I said, how would you like me to get involved? And she looked at me and said, Mother, please don't. So maybe I was involved a little bit too much. I don't know.
You can never be involved too much.
But. Yeah, there's no such thing.
Right, all those times I got mad at my dad for riding my ass for me doing something stupid. And when I look back on it, I'm glad he did, you know. It's good that he was there to kind of try to guide me as opposed being there at all. You know?
I remember when my mom actually took the time to, like, go through and make up all these flashcards for, I think it was math at the time,
yes.
Like your multiplication tables and all that, and she didn't know that because when she held them up to me, I could see the answer through the back because of the light behind her. Yeah, I never told her that. I did really good right there. Yeah, no, I aced them there.
It's like, I don't understand. You were so smart yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So, hey, Mom. Yeah.
So on the website, one of the quotes that I kind of liked it says, quote, keep your entire paycheck, quote, and that's from, I believe, the PDF file you can download on michiganfairtax.org.
Right.
Now, that would eliminate the fair tax would eliminate any penalties that you would have if you had to withdraw from a 401k type account or anything like that.
All of that stuff would go away. The current tax code as we know it, it would disappear.
So,
I mean, just would go away.
So if I netted at work, you know, $1,000 paycheck, and I put that $1,000 into the bank, the government takes none of that money. But if I wanted to go to Best Buy, you know, and buy a couple video games or an iPod or something like that, then the government can step in and take their money.
Their sales tax, right.
Okay. But I think that people would be more inclined to spend money when they look at the number in their bank. You know, it'd be double the number most people are used to.
Well, I think people would save more, number one. And number two, people would think more whether they need – I mean, we've been a very, very big consumption country for a long time. And I think few would argue that we've bought a lot of things we probably don't need to buy.
Exactly.
Not that I'm discouraging people from buying things. If they can afford it and they want it, I mean, that's up to them. But I think the main problem is that our tax, both on a state and federal level, have become very oppressive and very confusing for people. Hmm. And right now, there are a lot of people who are suffering financial distress for whatever reason, because they've lost their job or maybe they've had to take a big pay cut, and they would like to take some of that money out of, like, let's use for an example a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA is something that we pay the tax up front. So the government already has their tax, but if you were to cash in on a Roth IRA, just like your other IRA investments, you still have to pay that 10% penalty, which I think is wrong.
Hmm.
I mean, it's your money. You already paid the tax on it. You shouldn't have to pay it again, and
right.
You shouldn't have a penalty if you want to take it out early for financial reasons. And they're so restrictive on the exemptions as to why, you know, you can take that money out. If you have a health problem, you can take it out without
right.
a penalty. And there are a few exceptions, and that's wrong. I mean, it's your money. You should be able to take it.
And I agree. As a smoker, I mean, I know it's bad for me and everything, but the taxes on cigarettes are downright oppressive. You know,
they also know the level of addiction and that people
right.
will still buy them. So, sure, attack what they know people will still buy, even if the taxes are out of control.
Don't you think that's a little evil, the whole idea of sin tax? I mean, isn't
right.
that an evil
sin
thought?
Tax.
Because who smokes? Usually it's lower-income people
right.
that smoke.
That would be me right here, very low-income smoking.
I think it's awful the way they tax alcohol, they tax cigarettes, they tax. You know, now they want to
tax.
Yeah, now they want to tax McDonald's. I mean, New York and California are really going off the deep end. They want to get candy and soda and all these other things they want to tax.
What is the death tax?
Oh, my
God. Is that even a real term?
It is. It is. The death tax is actually what our inheritance taxes are. And if you're not smart about putting away your estate, the government can take up to 55% of anything that you leave behind.
Oh.
So if you don't have a will, if you don't put your money and your whatever you're leaving or want
make
to
amends
leave to
for
other
your
people.
Finances.
Yes, it really is kind of a making of amends of your finances. You need to sit back and think, you know, if I die tomorrow, who do I want to have my stuff? Do I want the government
definitely
to come
not
in
the government to
yeah.
pillage more than half?
Right.
The government has taken so much great care of us all.
Yeah, that's probably put you that close to death.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's what the FEMA coffins are for, then.
There you go.
Yeah, they're waiting.
There's another.
They're waiting for me.
Oh, you've heard about those?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh, really?
the FEMA coffins and FEMA camps and FEMA trains and FEMA this and FEMA that.
Right up until.
And you really have to question how much of it's legitimate information, how much is disinformation, but it's so cloudy.
Yeah, you can't make too much of an investment necessarily in that, but I mean, it does beg the question, like, as far as long as, like, the elitist or, like, the wealthy among us will continue to, like, get their own policies in their interest up until physical revolt, does that happen? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think enough people are on the same page. I understand grassroots efforts, but. Again.
You know what? I've never been rich. I'd like to try it once. I'd like to know what it feels like.
You're too nice to be rich.
But I will tell you that I harbor no animosity towards people who have been.
Sure.
Who have been successful, most people who are rich have worked very hard to get there. And I don't deny them what they've earned. And I think that this whole thing of class envy and the way the politicians try to pit one against the other is terrible because you know what? I don't know any poor person who's ever made or created a job. So thank you, God, for rich people because they do create businesses, they do create jobs. And I don't know about you guys, but I still need to work. I mean, I am not independently wealthy.
And not only us, but, you know, the generations below us, we'd probably be working up till death now. You know, there's retirement.
Yeah, retirement. I don't think that's a, you know, and it's really sad for my generation because, you know, think about it for the baby.
You guys were all set.
I mean, the younger people have years yet to make up for what has happened in the stock market over the last year.
Right.
People my age who were going to retire in the next couple of years, forget it. You know, we're not going to be able to do it. In fact, I met with my stockbroker. I don't have a lot of money put aside because I've been in sales all my life. And, you know, salespeople never have the benefits of, like, a salaried position where you have all these 401ks and stuff. And I started saving, you know, because I realized that. But I don't have the kind of 401k that most people would have that work for, like, General Motors or Ford or whatever. Anyways, I talked to my stock person and I said, you know, how long do you think it's going to take me to get back to where I was last year at this time? And she said, I don't know. And, and I really appreciate her being honest because I think that's true. A lot of people don't know. On the other hand, I really believe in the American people. And I don't doubt that we're going to come back. Well, I'm not going to go buy gold at $1,000 an ounce. I'm sorry. I think that's insane. I know there's a lot of people out there who have cried.
I considered it.
Yeah, a lot of people have. I mean, people would call me and say, are you selling your stocks? And I'd say, why? Well, because, you know, everybody's saying go to gold. Okay, well, go to gold if you want to at $1,000 an ounce. I'm not. I mean, I'd rather keep my scrappy little stocks and wait for them to come back because I know now I can't retire for at least 10 to 12 years. And so, you know, I'm in it for the long haul and I'm going to stay there. And I do believe in the American people. I think we've gone through so many things in this country and we've always come back. There's bright minds like you people sitting in this room that I know.
How dare you offend us?
I know you young people have some ideas to get us out of this.
Well, let's hope so.
Somebody's got to do it, you know, and when it comes to, like, for instance, the End the Fed rallies, that's where we met. Actually,
that's where
that's
we
how
met
we
Dar.
Yeah, Dar, right.
Became familiar
Dar
with
Fisher,
the Fed tax.
He is our computer whiz and administers the website.
Now, I heard you saying something earlier. He's been when he's just donating his time for a while he's been doing this?
Well, all of us are volunteers. There's no paid staff in the fair tax, other than I think there's one or two people on the national level, but the Michigan Fair Tax people are all volunteers. Some of us are business owners. Some of us are just political, people who have fought the unfair taxes for years and want to see a change in the system. I know, I own a small business, so I've been on the SBT thing for almost 30 years waiting for it to change, and then they changed it and they made it worse. So be careful what you wish for.
Did you say that this next End the Fed is in Lansing?
Yes. I think it's April 15th on tax day.
Okay. So I didn't know that. I thought it was over at the other.
Yeah, there is one on the 25th at the Federal Reserve Building here in Detroit.
Okay.
And it's off of Warren Street. And this time. Last time we did End the Fed, it was really – a lot of people ended up gathering in front of the Federal Reserve Building here in Detroit. And then as soon as it seemed like there was a good number
critical,
of people –
critical mass.
Right. Somebody took everybody and
away.
They all went to where did they go?
Eastern Market.
Yeah, they went down to Eastern Market.
Oh.
And they were protesting the Federal Reserve.
That just kind of misdirected the attention to me.
It just seems to me that, Warren, where the building is, it's kind of off the beaten path a little bit. But when you have that many people standing in front of one building, that's going to draw some attention,
Well, it could have been that the police or the fire wanted
they
to
were there
move
telling
them
us,
out of.
The one guy was supposed to be trying to run the sidewalk law on us. You have to be moving on a sidewalk. You can't stand there.
Well, that's a new one.
They didn't.
Oh, he couldn't cite the code. He didn't know.
I imagine he couldn't.
A lawyer looked it up for me, and he pointed to a really generalized loitering law. It could apply to a bum, or it could apply to somebody that's working, or it could apply to a protester,
Then you have to cite the First Amendment, right, that we have the right to gather as a citizenry and protest. I mean, that's part of the Constitution, and we do have the right to assemble. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Remember that thing?
Because the document's been so eroded over time.
Wait a minute. Constitution.
Did you learn about that in school?
That was written for us. We are constituents. That was written for us. My God, man.
So well, we're going to wrap it up here. Is there any way for the people listening to get a hold of you guys if they have any more questions on their own?
Absolutely. If you go to the website, www.mifairtax.org, there is a place for you to join if you're interested in volunteering. There are volunteers who are divided up according to congressional districts, and you can get involved in a very, very local level, or you can get involved on a national or statewide level. If you have questions, most of your questions would be answered on the website under the frequently asked questions, because people do have different, like what would happen with my house or car or whatever, and all those questions are answered on the website.
And that's fairtax.org, or for Michigan, it's mifairtax.org, correct? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time, Linda.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming in and shedding some light on some things for everybody listening out there. And hopefully we'll see you on the 15th or the 25th.
You will.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Make sure to check us out at www.theolanezrashow.com. Comment on our forums. Check out our MySpace, myspace.com/TheOlanEzraShow or myspace.com/TheOEShow. And we're going to take you out to Long Way Down by Ajax featuring DJ Groove, only on Detroit's Underground Talk Revolution.
Will you leave me in the dark? Aren't you clever?
You're so clever. So clever. Seen a face so sleek, won't believe the promises that the game won't keep.
cause the pleasure's so real and the pain goes deep. My veins flow weak cause your brain's so steep, and mine will just echo back your name, don't sleep, cause you have never seen this type of rainbow treat the universe, waiting for the days that they both meet. Fuck those fake hoes who only let those pesos speak, but am I scared of perfection at an age so meek? Start to second guessing when those cage doors creak. That's why you should be checking where you place your feet. My dreams in the rabbit hole, yeah, I'm chasing those deep. And I know I shouldn't jump into the flames, but it looks like they tasting so sweet. And if I don't, it's just a case of cold feet.
Will you leave me in the dark? Aren't you clever?
You're so clever.
Leave it all up to chance. Maybe never.
You're so clever.
Leave it all up to chance. Maybe never.
Wondering. You got me wondering.
Wondering.
You got me wondering.
Wondering.
You got me wondering. In the game of love, will I be stumbling?
I can't help falling.
You know I can't help falling.
All gravy, girl, I know the rules, and I know we're both young and we're so confused, and it really just depends on how the ocean moves, and how the wind blows, and how the potions brew, and how the situation as a whole's construed, and really who you want to clean your open wounds, cause they say time tells, I'm just hoping soon, cause I'm running out of gas like an old balloon, but I always know there's room just to refill, but cheap thrills will never be what she will, but something that I seek still, cause a weak will, like the urge to pop tabs and eat pills, so baby just be still and let me kiss your neck, and let you feel that my love will never disrespect, and let you see that I'm never going this to death, it's not smooth sailing, we'll be the first to hit the deck.
Will you leave me in the dark? Aren't you clever?
You're so clever.
Leave it all up to chance, maybe never.
You're so clever.
Leave it all up to chance. Maybe never.
Wondering. You got me wondering.
Wondering.
You got me wondering.
Wondering.
You got me wondering. In the game of love, will I be stumbling?
I can't help falling.
You know I can't help falling.